Look at that.
Good morning. Good morning. All right. I'm excited to be here today. I want to say a couple quick things before we get into the Word this morning, if that's okay. First of all, thank you, Jeremy, for allowing me to sit back there for a few minutes and for having us here. And you guys know I regret Pastor Tyrone and Ms. Carol can't be here this morning because had it not been for them over the course of years, I likely would not be even standing here anyway. I love to them, and deepest respect goes to them. And I'll do my best to respect this platform while they're not here. But I do have some other spiritual parents in the Lord here this morning, Pastor Mike and Pastor Valerie, who are always nice to be under their mantle as well. Nikki and I used to think he was just, when she talked about how great they were, I used to just think Michael Jackson, you know, because he can moonwalk and he was a thriller to be around and, you know, he'd tell you to beat it if you got on his nerves. And I don't know where that come from, but then I got to spend some time around him and I just realized that he, like I said a few weeks ago in our church, he forgot more about the Bible than I know. Not that he's forgetful, I'm just saying. It's good to be under that, you know. I don't know where to begin this morning except to say that I'm hungry. And I want to tell you quickly what God has been doing. Don't take it the wrong way. It has nothing to do with because we've left this church. God is doing anything cool or unique or neat. It's just that we're in our season where the Lord wants us to be and picayune. And I never thought I'd say that because leaving here was so very difficult. And at first I wasn't sure, you know, but when the Lord said go, we go, and we roll with that. But he's been moving and moving mightily, and I'm seeing something different in the church and a shift beginning to happen. And it's been kind of intensifying and building in our church. And about 2 weeks ago, something happened. And I couldn't explain it. I was back trying to run sound, and one gentleman came up and said some stuff and brought something right before the worship. It almost seemed like it was going to be slightly distracting. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. Except the part about repentance. The rest of it, I had no clue, which was probably good. But and then the worship came, and then another word, and God began to move prophetically on several people. And the next thing, I'm praying for somebody and prophesying at the same time. And the presence of God was just so thick. And I said, Lord, I could just absorb this all the time. And so there's an expectation in our heart. You know, and Nikki got excited this morning, and so if we seem a little weird this morning again, not that you're not excited, because you are, I know, and God is doing something here. Let me say that we might be a little weird today, but our church got a little weird last week, and I remember saying that, you know, I just over and over, I remember that the Bible says it's just traditions of men that causes the Word of God to be of no effect. And so I just got excited about that. We didn't have traditional service. Not that there's anything wrong with having, you know, service. There's got to be an order in that, right? But sometimes it's just great to see God show up and break out in a unique way that you can leave and you can say, Lord, I don't know what just happened. And so I left there and I said, what was that? And we were trying to talk about it and put our finger on it on the way home and could do no justice to it because I don't really know. I'm still sort of absorbing that. And but I say that to say that God is good. And he is, I just wanted to give you a little word on what's going on. The church is moving. It's growing. We got an outreach thing coming on the 13th of October. Good things are happening. Pastor Mike will be preaching here in a couple weeks again. And it's just a good time in God. And so, but to be back here this morning, I was really searching for the Lord to give me a word. And this week we spent a lot of time, Nikki and I both, seeking God. And so that's, I want to tell you something. I find that, and I wish sometimes when I was here, and I know that it was just a season. I have some regret, you know, we talk about it from time to time, have some regret and some missed marks while we were here and things that we didn't accomplish, didn't do well, maybe going through a dry, sleepy season. And it's just different and I can't explain it. Like I said, I don't think it has anything, it's nothing to do with church or culture. It's just that it's a season we go through. And I believe that we are in a season as a church body that the Lord is doing something different. The Bible says that glory by glory, faith by faith, and victory by victory. God is moving. He's ever changing. He's the same, but he's moving and he's changing. That sometimes can confuse us. But It's just who he is. He's never stagnant. He's never dull. He never stays the same place. He's always moving. This morning, I'm going to move sort of quickly, but if it's okay, I'm going to read my verses that we're going to study from, and then I'm going to give you some quick points and get into it that I think are important this morning. Isaiah 43, we're in a chapter where the people of God were in some turmoil and uncertainty and confusion and some tough things were going on. And Isaiah in 43, it's verse 18, says, "Forget the former things." Can I read it from the King James? "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." How quickly can we move? Okay, thank you. "But you are cast out of your grave." That's not it. That's okay. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because it's here, and we'll go back to that in a minute once Chad gets it. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people." That's us. "My chosen. The people I formed for myself, that they may show forth my praise." That's where we're going to go this morning. I see, give you a couple quick things. Talking about transitioning, talking about moving in God. And as Pastor Mike was taking his lessons all around the country, talking about next level, and I started feeding off of some of that and thinking about that. And Pastor Tyrone came back a couple weeks ago and preached at our church, and he talked about the elevator and getting off on the right floor and continuing to progress and going to the next floor. And so there's a theme in that I'm going to stay with this morning and talk to you about. We're always transitioning. Transition does not always occur fast. It doesn't always occur swiftly and quickly. But it indicates movement, transformation, shift, growth, evolution, metamorphosis, development, maturity. Some points I wrote. And our ability to shift can determine our destiny. We make a lot of shifts, but few of them have permanent impact on our destiny. Like when we're in a season, when the Lord says move and shift, and we don't move and shift. Or when we do move and shift. You follow me so far? I'm going quickly on just a few points. In one season of our life, and Pastor Mike was down here encouraging Nikki and I, hey, Ms. Val, before the service started, and he started saying my notes, and I'm like, stop, you might as well just preach for me. You know, he was encouraging me with a lot of this, and he said this very thing. When one season of our life comes to an end, it's because another is about to begin. We talked about that. We have to let go of what has been in order to embrace and what shall be. We're getting close to the promise that's before us. Just some points that I want you to think of. And so all of a sudden, I think that Paul must have been in a place of transition when he said, "Forgetting the things that are behind me, I press on for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus." There was something that was going on in his life at the time. There was a transition, a shift, and a change that he said, I forget that. I got to let go of that. I can't stay there. I got to go here and press on to that. And sometimes change comes in uneasy places and challenging circumstances that's forced upon us. This one left our life. That one left our life. This job, we got laid off. That job. Sometimes they come and we can't control them. It's just forced upon us. It's like it's pain inflicted. Sometimes we just got to continue to roll with it and keep flowing with it, right? Am I the only one that goes that way, that sometimes it comes in pain? Movement in your transformation does come in pain, right? Sometimes it's just growing pains. The teenagers, your son's so tall. I'm thinking at some point his knees probably, you know, he had a little ache and pain when he was just growing so quickly. And sometimes it's not. But when I think of change, I think about a formula. You know, when you think about metamorphosis or real change, you don't grow from elementary school to high school without real change and without there being a formula and a process in between. And so I begin to realize that there's a formula for change that must happen. We have to be transformed in our mind first. That's the first thing. Transformation of our mind that we might transcend to properly transition and change. Does that make sense? So we have to transform our mind first so that we can transcend. Transcend just means to go above and beyond, to break status quo, to exceed expectations, to just bust out, so to speak. But before we can do that, we have to get this right. Right? We have to do that, and then we can transcend. And then we can begin to transition. So the first thing this morning is the renewing of our mind, the clearing of our mind. The transforming is an issue of the mind. I'm reading a lot more notes than I normally do. Bear with me this morning. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's the word of the Lord, right? That's the first process in it. When my mind is transformed, I'm able to embrace the things that God has for me. In other words, if I'm stuck in little, I can never be big. How can I ever be big if I'm stuck on little? How can I ever be great if I'm always caught in turmoil and drama, right? So it's got to be a transformation of our mind that has to occur to understand and embrace what God is doing. And without that transformation, to understand how big He is and how great He is, and that even when it looks like He's not moving and things are sitting still in our life, God is still moving and He's doing something. But if we don't embrace it and we can't transform our mind by the renewing of it daily and with the Word, we can't catch it. When God could walk right by us and do something big for us or have something big for us, but we can't embrace it until our mind is right. Amen? And the idea that rules me inwardly in my mind will rule me outwardly, right? Is it true? So if I transform my mind, I can be exposed to the things that God is trying to expose me to. And then after the transforming of my mind, the next step can occur, which is where my life can transcend. And we can begin to exceed expectations, like I talked about, expectations in your work, expectations in your ministry, expectations in the presence of the Lord. And that's what started to happen a couple weeks ago. But sometimes transcending and going to the next stop and rising above certain things and beginning to go to the next level can be uneasy and be uncertain. And so in this passage, the prophet of God begins to speak in the text. The situation is one that the people of God are going through uncertainty and turmoil. They've been displaced from their land. Things aren't as they always been. They haven't as they have always been. They're just not comfortable for Him. There's something about us being in our comfortable place that we love. And so this passage really means something because this is a place that the Lord is sometimes taking us to, a place of uncertainty. But He's certain, but we aren't. So we aren't willing to go. We just can't grasp it, right? And so the prophet of God is trying to encourage him, and he's trying to get him a hold of something, and he's giving them a perspective to them. And he's saying basically that while it may not look like God is doing anything, while it may look like you're dispersed, it may look like you're dry, it may look like things aren't flowing your way, your finances, your family, your life, even your ministry, the words that were prophesied over you don't seem to be coming to pass. So people aren't just asking you to preach and teach all over country at this point today. Some of us aren't asked to teach a class just yet or to be in the band that we're supposed to be in. We haven't even begun to reach our destiny. And it may seem like God is not moving, but the prophet of God comes to tell him in this passage, He is still yet God. And he's beginning to give them a perspective on what's going on. And boy, the Lord began to open my eyes on perspective. And then I understand that the challenge that's laid before them is the same challenge that lies before us. We can have a pity party. We can lie in our dormant situation with problems all around, and we can soak in it. Or we can trust God and keep moving. And move into the next level. Get on the elevator and go to the next floor. Find a way to be elevated in God. I don't know I can't tell you what is going on in our life. I know sometimes I look at Nikki, she looks at me, we are on the porch having coffee, and then we begin to break down in tears and just talking about the Lord and what He's doing. And that's nothing new for me, right? Y'all know I'm just, tears are just, man, when the Lord comes, I can't help it, you know. But I remember there was a season where I was telling her this yesterday, where she would be always, you know, have worship music on and doing that, and I loved worship, but I was inclined to more to maybe read a passage or to study or something a little more. And it was just a balance, right, that we were trying to find. And all of a sudden, I come home about a month or two ago, and she started telling me about three sermons. She was sending me sermons she'd listened to and words she had heard and preaching to me in text about things that the Lord had revealed to her. And she's studying. I'm like, who has time for three sermons in a day? I was thinking, I can't listen to one. I'm busy. I mean, my work is busy. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? And I began to think, how in the world is she making time? Who has time for that? And the Lord began to deal with me. Busy, busy, busy. Complacency, busy, busy. Stagnant, complacent, busy, busy, busy. You've been too busy, busy, busy. Busy, 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 busy. I mean, right? I mean, after all, our kids need iPhones. We got to have new cars. We got to do it. Right? It's just we have to. When I was growing up, I didn't have a home phone. I was at a tent revival, though, from time to time, staring at what I thought was weird, thinking, this. You know, I remember when I was a young teen going to Pastor Mike and Pastor Val's church as a young man, and I knew it was good. I knew something was happening, but coming from Word of Faith and other churches in New Orleans and even here where it was a little more conservative, and I get there and they got people twirling flags, man. And I'm sure Nikki's mom was one of the ones that was dancing in the aisle at the time. I just didn't know it that, you know, she was there. And okay, I didn't know it yet, but I grew up thinking that and seeing like different churches and the way they move and how excited they were and what was going on in that place and the twirling of the flags and all the things that come together so perfectly to worship the Lord. I mean, you know, it's just like you grow up in it, but you just get busy from it. And I didn't think, but back then we wasn't thinking about even early on. I just busy. That's all I can say. Complacency. We had church 3-4 times a week. They had prayer services, anointed prayer services, and we had Sunday night services in class and Sunday morning services. And I'm not trying to step on any toes, and I'm not trying to insinuate that that's what we should do here, or that's what we should do at our church or anybody else's church. But what I'm saying is we've gotten stuck in this culture where if we just go, as Pastor Tyrone says, stamp our insurance card on Sunday morning, it's just enough for us. Because we are busy, right? It is so hard to transform and to transition and to transcend when we're this busy. And so over the last few weeks, I said, Lord, if I'll turn the football channel off a little bit. Okay, when I get out of church, I'll study still. It's Sunday night. You know, I was in church Sunday morning. I'm tired. I'm going to Google some stuff. I'm going to read some commentaries. I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to get in some scriptures. I'm going to find my way. When I'm on my way to Texas and here and there, I'm going to put more in. Oh, and as I began to do that, fire began to dwell up in me again. And I began to understand that Satan can only have as much of us as we give him. As much of our time as we allow him. And then if we could just each take another step to another level. And just, if I'm speaking to anybody this morning here, I don't want to stay on this for a minute. And if I miss some points on there, so what? Take time. I challenge you to set something that's important to you aside. And just take a little more time. Just a few minutes a day to get into word. Just a few more minutes into worship. Say, Lord, transform my mind. You said you're doing a new thing. God, do it in this season. Do it now. I need a new thing. I just got to ask you a question. Please don't raise your hand on this one. And it has nothing to do with church setting, okay? It has to do with us. But anybody else in the room besides me feel like you've been stuck for a long time? You know for a fact that you're supposed to be perhaps teaching a class, working in the nursery. Oh, but you raised your kids already. Come on. Maybe you're supposed to be standing in support of the pastors, praying for them. Maybe you're still supposed to start a prayer group. I don't know. Maybe you're just supposed to be ministering on your job, and you know. Maybe you passed somebody on the side of the road, the Lord said bless, and you said, nah, he's got that sign I don't like. Maybe he told you to, though, and you didn't. We've just been complacent. We've been busy. So I'm just challenging you this morning. This really isn't a word of inspiration as much as impartation. The word that Isaiah was bringing forth here wasn't really an inspiration. It was an impartation. He was saying, take hold of this. Behold, take hold of this. I'm doing a new thing. The Lord is saying, I'm doing a new thing. I'm challenging you this morning. I'm telling you, I know for a fact that the Lord wants to do something new in this house and in you. And that's what I come to tell you this morning through these 42 pages of notes that I've got. So they face the same challenges. And the shift in the seasons represents the possibilities in our life. And new opportunities, Pastor Mike, I think you said that down there too. And new promises come into fruition. So we have to understand that when the prophet of God gives the word prophetically, the first thing we have to understand is it has to be received. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking the prophet in the Bible, okay? When he brings the word, the people of God are going through a struggle. They're going through turmoil. They're in, so to speak, a wilderness. But the word has to be received. When the word comes, it's coming to remind you to focus on your right now. Not to focus on your right now, but to consider your not yet. Amen? Not to focus on our right now, but to consider our not yet. Prophecy, it ushers us into a place that we can't understand fully. We can't see. It takes us out of our current situation, our current reality. And it ushers us into a place of where we're going. I remember, again, when I was fortunate enough to work in presbytery with Pastor Mike and Pastor Tyrone, when they came and I was listening to them, and it was some things that I would grasp, and as they and others that have been in prophecy. And it's like prophecy is really not, it reminds me of the story where Jesus is talking where they begin to judge and they say this woman, that woman. And he says, and it's a prophet that's talking. He says, but you don't understand because I'm not talking about now. You're so foolish that prophet, what the word I'm giving is not about now. Because prophecy is really not necessarily about our past. We're talking about our past. what a past she had. And he said, I'm not talking about her past. Prophecy is really about this moment now and going forward. It's about our future. So the prophet Isaiah, he comes into scripture prophetically to give a word. But the people have to receive it because they are in a mess. And if they don't receive it, they won't be able to transition. And they won't be able to transcend and shift and make a change. So you have to receive it first about because prophecy tries to take us to the next place, to the next level. Show just what doors God may open for us. Does that make sense? But the enemy specializes in keeping us in the mundane and keeping us bogged down in our current situations, in our mud, in our stuff. Does he not? How many times have you been broken and delivered from the same thing? I have. I sometimes feel embarrassed. I'm like, can't believe I went back to that attitude. Can't believe I said that. Can't believe I criticized that way. Can't believe I was that negative again. So I have to be broken from the same thing that I was broken for a million times again. Amen. But there's something about the word of prophecy that comes. And the enemy just tries to bog me down in that mess. And I have to make a decision to move on. Because the word of God comes on assignment. So if you're here today, it's not by accident. Because the word of the Lord will not come back void. It says it will accomplish what it was set out to do. Now, the verse 18, I want to see something. It says, just to give a perspective of our past, let's look at verse 18 really quick. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Very quickly, he's not saying forget your past. It's not an attack on history. It's not even an attack on your past or saying those things were bad. He's just saying don't get bogged down in them. Rather than saying not forget, you have to remember. What he's saying is you have a past, but your past does not have you. It's really a different perspective. It's a challenge to not let your past cripple you and bog you down. That's what he's telling them. So you failed here and you failed there and you barely made it across the sea and you didn't make it out of the wilderness. I'm doing a new thing. He says you have to forget. You have to forget the problems. You have to move forward in it. Okay? Don't forget. Just don't let it cripple you. Use it as fuel. Use all the things. I mean, everything that God has taught me when it comes to my temper and temperamental and other things, I just, sometimes when I see people going through it, I feel bad. And I realize that I have to remember that because it's the Lord wants me to have that type of compassion. It's those things that I went through that I struggle with and I still sometimes do that the Lord, those very things that the Lord will use me for. So he doesn't want me to forget it. It's a challenge. It's a perspective that's for the people. So this today I'm giving you a perspective to look at. This is forget your past. We're talking about going forward. If we're clinging to that, we can't transition to the next level. Amen. That's the first thing he tells him in there. Excuse me. In that verse number 19, it says, behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it? Behold means stop. It means listen. It means see something. See something you've never seen before. Do something you've never done. Experiment with something in God. I'm not talking about reckless experiment. I'm talking about a trust in God, a transition in God that you've never done before. That's what behold means. He's trying to capture their attention. If I stopped and I screamed, behold, right now, you would think I was nuts. But if there was a train coming for you and I screamed, behold, whatever I said that got your attention, you wouldn't care. If I was just trying to get you to stop, if I was just trying to get you to see, to transition across the tracks, to move out of an uncertain place, to move out of a place of death, or one that might hinder your walk, or a transition that may control your destiny, you wouldn't care what I hollered. The Lord said, behold, see. Isaiah said, he's saying, see. See what I'm doing. See a new thing. Our mind, we have to transition it to see it. I know I'm flipping pages. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. If we can do that, if we can behold, if we can look, if we can stop, if we can consider and see what the Lord is trying to show us, here's the cool thing about it. We don't have to wait until it happens to transition to it, to begin to give him thanks, to begin to worship him for what he's about to do. If we can behold, then we can see it. If we can transform our mind and we can see where God may want to take us, see the opportunities, see the possibilities, see the open doors, we behold. We don't have to wait. Then God's credit becomes good with us. His credit is good with me. I don't pick on, you know. Perhaps he ain't here today. Should I? Okay, just once. Just once. Behold, his credit's good with me. He's saying, look what I'm about to do. How's it going to happen? Get to the next point very quickly. There's two ways it could happen to you that I believe. It could happen like spring grass that just nice blossoms and comes. Or it can happen through pressure. I believe that right now, because I'm watching the pain and the anxiety in some people and the things they're going through, and I believe that God is using a little bit of pressure, a little bit of pain. I know we don't like to hear it, but I'll tell you why I believe it, why I believe it's through pressure. He says, it's going to spring forth. Verse 19, if you want to know how it's going to happen, there's a good indication for you. He says it's going to spring forth. You think about a diving board, a trampoline, anything that springs forth. A jack-in-the-box. Think about the darkness and the tension and what happens inside the box before it springs forth. It comes through a little bit of pressure, a little bit of pain. So if any of you are going through it right now, you're saying, well, I don't know about this. I ain't ready for this. Is it possible that the amount of pressure that's being applied to your life could be an indication of just how high God wants to spring you? Of just how high He wants to take you? Come on, I didn't make up the scripture. He said, it shall spring forth. It shall spring forth, is what it says. Change is going to spring forth in you. Man, I'm going to stand here today and just declare in this house that change is going to spring forth. In our church, in every city, in every community. That people are going to come to church and begin to pray. That there's going to be a Tuesday night revival. Like this week, there's a whole week revival going on at the Methodist Church. If you didn't know it, Becky and some others are putting on like the one they had a while back. It's already a good sign, an indication that people are willing to stay till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. 6, 7 days a week to seek God. It's not been happening for a long time. But suddenly something in this community is the second one in the last, 6 months to a year? I don't know. That's happening. That tells me that there is something hungry in this community, in God's people. Now, not everybody. So today, I mean, you may be one I'm speaking to, maybe not, because we all have our days, our days of visitation and our times and season. I don't know which one you're in, but I know I'm speaking to some of you this morning that says the time has come when true worshipers will worship me in spirit and truth, will be hungry for me. If you're hungry, you're going to go to the table. Okay, if you're hungry, you're not going to sit in the living room and not walk to the fridge. If you're hungry, you'll come into the Word. If you're hungry, you'll get into worship. If you're hungry and you want to move to the next level, you'll get into the house of God. Amen? There's a transition in the shifting in church and Christianity, and not just in churches, but in us individually. I see the news just like you. And I say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? He says, behold, I am doing a new thing. You got to catch it, though. We've got to transform our mind, transcend ourselves, get ready for transition. It's going to come through some pressure, through some tension. So then I began to ask the Lord this. God, each of us go through different seasons. We go through different things. I've been through mine. I can remember some good ones and some bad ones. Lord, for the people that sit in the room today that say, I'm tired though. I'm physically tired. I'm mentally tired. I've been beat down. I really don't know what my destiny is. I don't know when I can move. I don't really know when I can transition. Somebody say, when can we transition? I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking. The scripture says, now. The verse gives us clear indication of what he's saying. Now, we know a moment in time with the Lord could be 1,000 years a day. In this particular passage, he was telling them, you can do it now. Now you shall spring forth. He had been telling the people of Israel for a long time, get it together. Come on, am I the only one he's been telling that to for a long time? He'd been telling them for a long time, and now he's giving them another opportunity to let the past go. Let it go behind you. Forget the Red Sea. Forget all that stuff. Now you can spring forth, he says. Boy, isn't it an encouragement to know that today could be a day. He says now. We don't have to wait till next week. We don't have to lie with the frogs another day. We can transition today. We can transition. We can move. We can shift. The church can go to another level today. Pastor Tyrone and Pastor Carol, they could come back next week and say, what has happened? I'm looking out into the congregation. I'm seeing fire in their eyes. I challenge you. Well, I will be preaching next week, so do it for Pastor Tyrone if you don't want to do it this week. The following week, I challenge you Monday through a Saturday to take 30 minutes a day with God, to seek His Word. To get hungry and desperate for Him. Because I'm talking to somebody I know about the Word. Because I can't tell you the times
that I thought I was doing something good because I'd give somebody $5 or $10 or a gift or do something nice for somebody else. But that's what good religion will do to you. Good religion will have you go do nice things for people. But we won't spend time with God. But when you're hungry and you have a relationship, see, I love Nikki. I want to spend time with her. I don't want to just call her over the phone or do nice things for her. I don't like being out of town for a week at a time and just, you know, send a nice text. Or maybe I'll do something nice in honor of her in a hotel room, you know, clean up my room, things that she would tell me to do at home, you know, be neat. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I might do that to honor her. But guess what? It's not the same as spending time. It's not the same as us being intimate and together. Amen. I challenge you when he comes back. Anybody up for a challenge? And see if God doesn't transition you if you do this. And if you don't do this, you won't transition. Not this very thing, but something like it. But I'm just telling you, it's going to be a time. You might have to call a midweek prayer. You might have to call them up and say, Pastor, we're hungry. Group of you might have to come. Just say, can we go and pray? Can we set a morning meeting up to pray? If you don't want to do that, spend 30 minutes a day. Divide it up. Worship, word, have you. Get a balance. And seek God. And begin to ask him to take this house, this church, to a new level. Because I know for a fact, because I was raised under Pastor Tyrone. I know they want a next level. I know that they've been doing it a long time. And the church can wear you down if you've been ministering and preaching to a people who don't want to hear it. I'm not saying you don't want to hear it. Don't misunderstand. I'm saying you're a lot like I am. I know you guys. You know me. We sometimes can get complacent, and we're sometimes need to push, all right? And he can only push so hard. From up here, he can only push so hard. I challenge you to push him, to a new level, to take him and Pastor Kyle to a new level, to pray for them all week long, 30 minutes a day, and show up in this house and see if your worship doesn't change. See if your perspective doesn't change. See if your attitude doesn't change. Towards them, towards his house, towards the people outside of here. It's the next level. I'm challenging you this week to do that. If you want to do it for me this week, that'd be great too. I'll be back next week with a word I know is from the Lord as well. But do that for them. I'm not worried, but do it for them. Bless them. Honor them that way by honoring God that way. I told him a long time ago, Pastor Tyrone, certain things he was doing, he was very consistent in and hungry with the youth. And I began to tell him something in the back of the sound booth. I remember where we were sitting. And I was telling him, you know, I was just giving him a little thanks and told him, like I tell Pastor Mike now, sometime when I grow up, he preached a 5-minute sermon last week, a couple weeks ago before the sermon, before I preached. And he preached in 5 minutes and said more than most people can say in 6 months. And I said, I want to do that when I get big. You know, but I was telling Pastor Tyrone that one time, and he said, don't put your eyes on me, put your eyes on the Lord. Okay? He said, I appreciate what you're saying, but set your affections to him. All right, so I know for a fact that if you do that, you'll honor him. If you set your affections to the Lord, you'll honor both of them. Because that's ultimately what they want for you and for this house. They would love to look out one day and see if there's 80 of us here. I guarantee you there's nothing more in his heart than to look out and see fire in you as you begin to worship. It doesn't matter if the drummer back here drops a stick 8 times because his hand's all cramping up this morning. I don't know what was going on. It won't matter to you because you will be worshiping the Lord. Your eyes will be set upon him, asking him to go to the next level. Do it for them. It'll honor him. God says, I'm making a way in the desert. There's something about this passage that is so relevant that I was drawn to it because, like I said, the people were going through some stuff. There was just uncertainty. I mean, how many of you know what God's going to do tomorrow? How many, we know we've got some plans, but how many do we know what's going to happen when we get back to our workplace? Who's ever been laid off unforeseen? Anybody? Yeah? 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 Anybody care about walk out of their life? I know some of you lost a child. Unexpected. Can't really say what might happen tomorrow. In this passage, the people were so uncertain and so unsure of what was going to happen. They were distraught. They were going through some stuff. Some of it was self-inflicted, I guarantee you. And others of it was the Lord was bringing them through a season. And Pastor Mike talked about it down here again this morning. I don't know why he keeps picking and tearing up my word, but he was. About a wilderness. And I love in chapter 43, verse 19. Can we go there? It says, and see now I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I make a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Some of you are saying, I don't really know how to shift. I don't know how to go.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. If you take that 30-minute-a-day challenge, God's going to begin to show you what you need to do. But you're going to, if you can change your perspective, the things that were stumbling blocks before will be opportunities to us now. If we can take that time and see what He is saying, I'm keep bragging on my pastors and the people that have mentored me in my life, but let me tell you something. The one thing I love about this passage that stood out to me the most, I told Nikki at the table. It doesn't say He's going to open it up. Pastor Tyrone's going to open up the wilderness for us. God says, I'm going to do it for you. Who would you rather have going before you? What the Lord was saying is, it might be new to you, but it's not new to me. I've been down that road. I've done that before. That's what He was saying. I'm going through. You can't make a way and a path through the wilderness unless you go yourself. So He has to go before us. So if God goes before us, what could possibly stand in our way? Amen. So if you're asking yourself today, how am I going to transition? Step. Just move. One step at a time. Take it. Take the challenge on the Word. I promise you it'll change your life. But I promise you, there'll be somebody the Lord will reveal to you to give to do for. There'll be a class that the Lord is already opening the door for you to teach. Some of you, I'm hearing about, 10 young people that are in the Solid Rock class. 10? Tell me God isn't moving, okay? In this house alone, there's 10 that have signed up to hear the next level, to take themselves from youth to adulthood in the Lord, the next level. And in Johnson, you got a Sunday night class with how many? About eight more. And I know there's been multiple classes, and there's 8 more in here that have said, I'll take the 22-week challenge because I want to go to the next level. I want to be in ministry. And if that's what the house requires, then so be it. I'll go. He'll open a path for us, He says. Why would He do that for us? I said, Lord, You'll go before me. You care that much. It means that much that I go through it. The things that seems unsurmountable. The things that seem seemingly, they seem impossible to us. The Lord's saying, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to create a way for you to see stumbling blocks as opportunities to go to the next level. It's like hurdles. You're just going to step over them. You don't have to jump. You just step over them because He's making a way for us. Does that make sense? I know some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. And I understand that not everybody is saying, I want to leap today. I get it. But if it's you, I'm talking to you this morning. It is. If it's you, I'm talking to you. He says, stop more worrying. I'll make it happen. Here's what a couple of things the Lord quickened me to. He's done it before. It's not new to Him. Check His record. He said this, if you don't think I'll do it, I made a way in the Red Sea and a way for Israel out of Egypt. Did I not? Did I not make a way? And when they got to the walls of Jericho, He said, I made a way for them to come down. Check His record. And He said, I made a way for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Check His record. When Peter was in prison and the church began to pray and it was right, he was right on time. Amen? Was that not a path? Is that not a way? When Paul and Silas were in a Roman jail, Nikki began to share this story with me a few weeks ago. She got so excited I had to tell her, calm down. Calm down, baby. Calm down. They were in a Roman jail and they began to sing praise at midnight in a dark hour. And God's praise, it says that the walls and chains came down for them. But hold up. It didn't just come down for them. It came down for everyone around them. Why would God bring you through a desert? Why would He bring you through a wilderness? So you can show forth His praise. Because it's one thing when you escape the chains. But it's another when you praise to the degree and you're at the level when the people around you begin to get blessed by it. And begin to free from bondage and free from just a dull manner and dry bones and free to go to the next level. That's why sometimes when somebody gets next to me in worship and gets a little excited, I'm like, holy cow, that's how you break up fallow ground. And I begin to worship the Lord and get excited. Because it just takes one crazy person willing to step out. It's usually a woman. But guys, yeah, but here's the thing. But this is what the Lord said. I'm doing something new. I'm believing that my brother-in-law, Harold, at church, he's a tall guy. I can't miss him. He reminds me of you. And he stands over there from the second the worship service goes off, and he's just battling stuff and going through stuff and trying to transition and come out of things, and he just begins to worship. And I can tell you, if you just ever listen to him teach or preach while he's hungry, there's not this, just words of just, wow, come out of him, okay? Like Pastor Mike, for instance, all right? He can't do the moonwalk. But man, when he stands up and he begins to worship in our church, there's a man that'll put his hands up in the air and begin to worship before the Lord. And it challenges me. There's something about
There's something about next level people who are hungry, who says, I'm tired of being in this mess. I'm tired of being stuck there. And he's hungry. And so I know it's always, it seems like it's usually a woman. I remember the lady in church in Spotdale, Nikki, you'll probably remember. She began to shout over at Brian Dean's church. And I was like, next thing you know, I want to scream. Holy cow. You know, there's something about those type of people. But the Lord says he'll bring us through a wilderness. Why? The wilderness represents that place between what has been and what shall be. Pastor Mike, you said that to me down there in 2 minutes this morning. You said a lot. Between my right now and my not yet, that's what the wilderness represents. The book of Exodus defines it as that place standing in between Israelites, the people of Egypt, Israelites, and their freedom. That's that place. That's what Exodus defines it as, that place. Can I tell you this morning, there are some of us that are in that place. And some of us are in that place because we refuse to take the path of the wilderness that the Lord has made for us and to step and to go into the next level. I've been one of them for a long time. Some are there because it's just where the Lord takes you. And you're going through the process and you got to go through it. And you got to trust him through the process because it's something about building trust that he's trying to do in us. If he's not doing anything else in the world right now, he's building trust in his people. The ones that decide that I will serve you. If things to my left fall down and things to my right, I will serve you. If things are good, I'll serve you. If they're bad, I'll serve you. If I've got money in the bank, I'll serve you. And if I don't, I'll serve you. I'll worship you, God, when I don't feel good, when my head hurts, when my teeth hurt, when my back hurts. I will worship you just the same. It's not going to be an easy process. But God didn't call us to something easy. He'll make the path. We got to go. Even a cleared path requires people to walk down it to get to the other side. Thorns and stickers can stop you, but it can be clear. But if you don't get up and walk down it, it's just a clear path. It represents absolutely nothing for us if we won't walk in it. Amen. And I love this. It says it's just that we want a free pass. We want exemption from it. But the wilderness is that place that like where Jesus said, Lord, not my will. Even Jesus got in that place and said, take this cup if you can. Right. But it's a place that'll make you say, take this cup. Oh, but if our perspective changes, it'll like it did for him. It'll be a place that says, not my will, but your will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done in this wilderness, in this place. That's what it represents. And God says in the scripture, I'm going to take you through that. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to set it. And I love this next one. It says, let's read verse 43:20, and we'll get to a few minutes here, and I'll try to get out of your way in about an hour and a half. It says, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give to my people, my chosen ones. You know what? The beasts of the fields and the fowls of the air will worship him. Why? Because they already trust God. They already know. When a dry season comes, they just keep flying. Birds just keep migrating. They just keep moving. They just keep transitioning and keep moving. They have that much trust. The Bible says that they don't sow nor do they reap. Or do anything for the barns of the Lord. How much more does he want to bless his people? Does he want to see us transition into a place? It says, if the fowls of the air, they understand enough, the locusts, the insects, the bugs understand enough to know that he is yet God. And while it seems like he's not moving because I can't find any dew, because it seems to be a famine or a drought, things aren't right, I've been stagnant, sitting in the wrong place. He says, they will continue to honor me because they recognize. But yet my finest creation, that's us, will look sometime and can't praise me, can't worship me because they don't trust that they just can't migrate, can't go to the next level. We sit complacent in the same place in our church pews. We go to Walmart. The lady told me the other night at the revival thing, this is wonderful, but only if it blesses the heart of people. Because if I walk down the aisle of Walmart tomorrow and I miss somebody and I pretend to not see them, then this revival was nothing for me. And I said, yeah, you're right. It goes deeper than just worship and change. It actually has to do something in it. We have to walk in it. Thank you. If the beast of the fields would do it, God's finest creation, why would he do it for us? Why would he give us waters in the desert? Why would he allow us to transition? Why would he say, forget the former things? Why would he say, use that? Don't let it cripple you. Use you. Use it. Why would he say, I'm going to put a little tension and I'm going to spring forth, but I'm going to do it now for you if you're interested. I'm ready to do it now. Why would he do all that for us? And verse 21 sums it up perfectly. Thank you for asking. It says, this people, that's you and I, that I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. It's our responsibility
to go to the next level and show forth His praise. No more business, busy, busy, busy. No more complacency, no more. I'm going to close with this that I want to tell you. In Matthew, this scripture means everything to me. It's Jesus is talking. Can we go to 14? Can you put that up for me? Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. It says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea and tossed by the waves. This was a big setup for God, for the wind was contrary. We sang, "Let it rain" this morning. God, let it rain right now. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out of fear. Now hold up a minute right there. I don't have to know what a ghost looks like to know it isn't a ghost if I recognize Jesus coming. Okay? In a storm. If I can transform and transition my mind in a storm, I'll know it's not a ghost because I'll know God enough to know because I've transformed my mind. No dig on the disciples right here. They just weren't a place. They were about to transition, but it didn't happen just yet. They said, "This is a ghost." They didn't recognize that God was coming on water, something that this was going to be extremely important for us in our future, going to the next level, this passage. But not so we can walk on water, because I told Nikki this last night in the car. God doesn't care or give a darn if we ever walked on water. If Ms. Valerie got out of here right now and walked on water, they'd take pictures of it. They'd say it was the buoyancy of this. It was the way her feet was shaped. Okay, everybody'd be amazed by it for about 2 minutes, and that'd be the end of that. And she'd be out there every week just walking on water, waiting for somebody to come. And people might pass and go, "Oh, that's pretty cool." But it really was nothing about the walking on water. Because it's no significance to really stepping on water. It's symbolic. It's just symbolic. The Lord just got so much poetry and analogies, and it's just symbolic. I'm not saying that if you want it, we can walk on water, and the Lord didn't talk about miracles. I get that, right? But I'm saying, really, He'd care less if I walk out of here and go to the beach and walk on water, if I can't walk in His ways, if I can't follow Him, if I can't transcend and transition to the next level of the water that I walk on. It don't matter if I walk on a pile of dookie. It won't matter. I'm sorry. It just won't matter. What you walk on is irrelevant. He could have used that. It was the idea that He was saying, step out of the boat. Get to the next level. And when the disciples saw Him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said this. In one word, Peter's destiny changed. He said, "Come." In one word. Will you come in for a minute, Ms. Valerie? He said, "Come." Now, if anybody knows the safest place to be in a boat, it's a fisherman. Last I checked, that was a fisherman saying, "Lord, if You say come, I'll come. But it's got to be You." Because he understood safety. He understood the mundane. He understood that I can stay inside this boat in my safe place. But he also understood that the Lord was saying, "I'd rather be you be out here in these uncharted waters with Me than in your safe place in that boat." This morning, I know somebody's getting challenged in your heart right now. And I'm going to have him pray with you in just a minute. Because here's what please don't feel like you have to flock here if it's not you. Because one significant point I want, and I'm not trying to take if you want to come, come. But everybody did not come. There was more than one in the boat, but just one, that one said, "Okay, I'm ready to transition. I've been a fisherman all my life. I've been fishing. I've been in the safety of my boat. But this morning is a day that I want to transition. This morning is the day I'm going to take a risk and I'm walking to my new ministry. This morning is the day I'm going to walk onto my new job, or I'm going to accept the fact that that person left my life, or this person left my life, and my heart's no longer going to be broken for it, that I can move on because God's saying, step out to Me. Now is the season. Safety's in the boat. If you want to stay in the boat, stay there this morning. Because not everybody came. But Jesus, but Peter said, "Lord, if it's You, bid me to come. I want to go to the next level. I want to lay prostrate before You, Lord, and worship You. I want to see You do something big. I want to see You move in my life. You're more important than my checkbook. You're more important than my kids. You're more important than ESPN, for God's sake. I mean, come on, that's big to me. I love football season. I'm busy to travel for work.
Nikki was laying on the floor last night. Pardon me, I said I was almost done. Pastor Mike's going to get on to me later about it, sorry. And she come rushing out of there, bubbling on fire. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, the Lord said we'd go tomorrow. We're just supposed to feed God's people, feed the sheep. You know, it's not that we're, you know, it could be, next week it'll be somebody else, it'll be me, but the following week Pastor Tyrone will be back here to feed the sheep. And then the following week maybe it'll be someone else. But this week she just come out, there was something about being on her face before the Lord last night. Said, I'm going to set this TV aside. Even she was in there worshiping in the living room, but set that aside to go on her face in the closet and something happened. The Lord, I'm not trying to brag on that. Trust me, I'm just saying there's something about hunger that says I want to step out of the boat. And I got to go to the next level. And if it means I got to turn the television off, tell my kids not right now, buy some Subway because I don't have time to cook an hour dinner tonight, find a way to get away from the mundane and the safety of the boat and the busyness and step into the water. Right. Step in. He said, bid me to come. I'll caution you really quick. Peter did lose his focus for a second. Don't get frustrated if you jump in and things get worse and a storm just circles around worse. Just look up again. Say, Lord, I want to stay in this level and then go to the next one. I want to stay in this season while I'm supposed to be in it, but now I want to go to the next level. Get back up. Anybody want to do that this morning? Anybody say, I know for a fact that I've been dry in my bones. I know for a fact I have not studied your word enough. That could be everybody, but if this morning, if you're saying, I am going to commit, God, I'm committing to the next level. Just come up for just a minute. He's going to pray. I want Pastor Mike and whoever else in the leadership that wants to come pray this morning.
Yes. Lord, next level. Hallelujah.
Mm. Church, I know I'm taking up a lot of time this morning. And I appreciate you sticking around. And if you have to go, it's okay. But this morning, without even music in the place, with no music in the place, we're not even creating an atmosphere. I love an atmosphere of just worship and music. But this morning, just us standing in this place. Because when we leave out of here in a minute, it's just going to be us. When we get home tonight, there's a service tonight at the Revival if you can make it this week. But if you can't, you can make 5 minutes for the Word. You can make 10 minutes with me, can't we? Amen? We're just next level people, right? Is that what we are? Just lift your hands to the Lord while he prays. Pastor Mike, if you want to pray loud, wherever you want to do this, you and Ms. Valerie and Shari and others, anybody else that wants to be involved in that. Father, today, we commit right now in the quiet of this storm. Here today, God, in this quiet room, Lord, we're saying, God, we want to go next level. I'll forget my past. I'll put it behind me. I will press on to the high mark, the high calling, God. I will take time for you. I will make moments for you in this season, God, that I can go to my next season and into my next destiny. God, I pray that you're going to open doors for these folks, God. You're going to close doors and open doors that only you can open and shut, God. God, there are some that are standing here now wondering where they're going to get the need for tomorrow. And right now, God, you're saying, I've already made a way. I've already opened the wilderness. I've already went before you, says the Lord. I've already done it for you, says the Lord. Walk in it. Believe it. Oh, there's a challenge in this house, and not just this church, every church. There's a challenge to God's people that says, get hungry for me. You're tired of the negative news. You're tired of fake news. You're tired of all that stuff. Turn it off for a minute, says the Lord. Forget what's behind you. Forget those former things. Don't let them cripple you. Don't let your past cripple you. Use it as a spring to launch you into your future, into your destiny, into your next landing spot. Step out of the boat. You've asked yourself so many times, Lord, if it's you, God, then show me this, show me that. We've fleeced God over and over again. The Lord says, I bid you to come.
The more, the next.
I bid you to come. Just begin to worship him for a minute if you can. Just begin to tell the Lord you love him, how important he is to you, what he's delivered you from, what he's broken you from, what he's done in your life, what he means in your life. Oh, let him know that you want to go to the next level, but it's been hard. It's okay to tell God you struggled with it. I said, Lord, I'm tired. Oh, but he said, come. Send your storm, God. Send your wind, send your storm, God, if that's how you want to do it. If you want to do it by pressure and so forth, spring us forward, God.
Next level.
But God, you said you would do it now. So this morning, God, we take you for your word and say, do it now in us. Now, God. You hear your people, Lord. You hear them. Oh, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of our time, whatever it takes, God will give to you. Tell them you're not too busy. I'm not too busy for you, God. I will make time for you, Jesus. I truly believe that the next level will only take us making time. Some of us can just transfer with a little bit of our time towards Him. A little bit of our commitment to Him. Church, I struggled with commitment for a long time in this thing. I still battle it sometimes. But the Lord says, commit. Commit yourself to me. Commit yourself to going to the next level. Tell people in your workplace. Hold yourself accountable. You've already made a way, Jesus, for us. Oh, we'll walk in it. Forgetting what's behind, Lord, we press on today. God, you are so good. You've been so good to us, God. You've been so merciful to us, God. If the fowls of the air will worship you and will give you honor, and they'll honor you, God, why won't we, your finest creation, just give you a little honor? We know that you've brought us through some deserts, through some storms, God, but we trust you with our lives and with our future, God. We trust you with it. So we will honor you and show forth your praise, Jesus. Let that be in your heart's cry this week. Hunger in this place. Let there be a hunger in this place, in this house, in this house. Yeah. Right. It's not that we're ungrateful, God. It's just we know there's more. Yes. Look what he's done. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Ooh, I don't know where to go from there, church, except to say that. Take the perspective. Take the challenge this week. Dive in it. If you're unsure if it was for you this week, when you get busy this week, just say, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And see if he don't, with one word, change your destiny, change your entire day for you, and say, come. I guarantee he'll say, come, because he is relentless in his pursuit of us, saying, come. Come. He just wants a people who are hungry. We're not going to set the world on fire. It's not going to come to an end today because we had great church or a great time in the Lord. There's more. There's more ahead. He just wants us to get to the more, to the next step, to the next level, and to honor him like the beasts of the fields will do. At least, at the very least, like those that recognize and trust that he's good in the desert, that he's good in rainy season and in dry seasons. Oh, I challenge you. Lord, as we pray for this body and this church, God, we lift up the pastors of this house. God, my dear friends and mentors, God, you know I love them. But God, they love you. We hope that they enjoy in their time right now, God. And Lord, with their son, God, I pray that you're going to pour on them. But God, even as they sit there right now, God, I pray that you're preparing their hearts for what's ready for the challenge of this church. And the people that's going to be so hungry to stand behind them and to push and to love on them and to encourage them. Encourage even them God, two awesome people that can still go to another level. We all can, God. God, I pray for them right now, wherever they're at, Lord. In Japan, God. You're God over Japan. Right now, Lord, lift up Tyrone and Carol right now, God. God, I pray that you would just bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Safe travels back to them, God, to this house, because they were called to minister and to preach and to be ahead of this house, God. And I thank you for their vision. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that's on their life. And I thank you for what they've meant to my life and to the lives of the people in this church. Lord, the least we can do is honor your house with our time. Honor our pastors when they return with a willing heart, with a desire that said, I didn't want to teach nursery, but I will. If you bid me to come and you say that the Lord is calling me to a ministry, then I'll do it. Pastor, if you've prayed about it and thought about it, I'll step into that next level. Give the men of God and the women of God the respect in the house. Does that make sense as they come back? Let's honor God by honoring them first in this house. And make sure that if we see them get fatigued or tired, we encourage them. If it's a dollar they need, that we give it to them. Okay? That we bless them as they bless the house. It's so important because we're only as good as our leadership. And you have good leaders. I have witnessed it. They showed up at the hospital for me. They showed up at my doorstep when I needed them. Okay? You have good pastors here. We have good stuff here. All the elements of a good setting is in this church. We have good people here. We have musicians, good singers. We've got good pews, good light. We've got overhands. We've got it all. It's about time that we give a little bit back in respect to the Lord. I'm not saying you've done a poor job of it. I know I have at times. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's time to do more. It's time to go to that next level. Pray for them this week. Encourage them this week in your prayer. Because I believe the Lord's taking this house to another level. And the pastors are on my heart because I know they don't go off very often. Y'all know that. They don't leave this house and go on a lot of vacations. They don't worry about money. They're not elaborate in those type of things. Fancy cars. It's not who they are. Okay, but they're off today, this week enjoying some time. And I hope to God that they're refreshed and they're restored and renewed when they come back. And I hope they come back to a people who are hungry. When they encourage us to worship, we worship. I wish I could take back time while I was here and do more to honor this house. Nikki and I both do. But I can't hold on to the past. Because this is the thing, if I cling to anything, I can't spring forth now, like the Bible says to do, if I cling to anything. So if any of you are clinging to anything, let it go today so that you may spring forth now into a new season, all right? Because it bothered me over the last 7 months when I left here. I felt like I left undone. I didn't leave here with the same intensity as when I came. I let myself, for whatever reason, and I let down, began ministries, didn't do it, didn't run marital, didn't do the things properly like we should have. We got busy and didn't put the time into it. So even when I began to prepare the message, the enemy just began to attack me and want to keep me in that and say, but you didn't do it when you were there. But I won't cling to that. I'll forget the past. I'll forget the things that's behind me, and I'll use that as fuel to do it in Pickian, Mississippi, or wherever he asked me to go. Amen? I hope that challenged you this morning. You guys know I love you. I love this body. Nikki and I love this body and these people so much.